Okay, how many of you are grammar police? Like, okay, there we go. It's what's that? How many of you text on your phones? Do you use proper punctuation and grammar when you text? I do. Someone said, of course, and who does not? Who uses all the text ease with single letters? And I can read text ease. And sometimes the texts come through as completely unintelligible, but you just have to read it correctly to know how many mistakes were in there and try to put the word into the right context. That one doesn't work. There's a hilarious and completely inappropriate website called damnyouautocorrect.com, and it shows what happens when your phone corrects what you said. I do not recommend you go there because you will not laugh. You will be offended. I don't know. There's something in the beginning of our reading today, in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, for grammar police. What's missing from the first sentence? Now, of course you have the Bibles open, right? Let me read the first line to you again, and if you don't have the Bible open. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not a complete sentence. There's no verb. So what does that make the first line? Well, incorrect, yes. It's a title. Who said title? You both did? Okay. That's why I heard it well. See, you both said it. It's the title. So we call it the Gospel of Mark. The writer called it the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That just says, this is what I'm going to do. Title. Underlined. On top. We don't have it that way, and we think somehow it's supposed to be different. Anyway, that's the beginning. It begins with John. And John is quick to point out the first thing. It's not me. That's all John says, really. There is another on the way. And I got to wonder, is that all that John was for? Getting people ready for Jesus, telling people he was nothing compared to Jesus? Oh, Mr. the Baptist, you did more than that. You told people to change their ways from selfishness and greed to kindness and generosity, and that is nothing small. And people came from all over, and they had life-changing experiences because of you. And you ate bugs for lunch. Okay, you dipped them in wild honey, but still, you ate bugs. You lived simply. And you lived what you preached. And that part right there, is enough to make a difference. During our getting ready for Christmas time, we can make a difference too. Simply follow these two little things that Mr. the Baptist talked about. Be kind and generous and live simply. You can ignore the bugs for lunch part. Besides, the cicada invasion in our area doesn't happen again until 2024. But when that happens, if you want to have bugs for lunch, I am happy to cook up a batch. I did that in 2007. You're going to have to go back to the archives of the Chicago Tribune and see that I was on the front page of the Chicago Tribune for cooking cicadas. And if you want to, go to YouTube and look up the cicada chef. And there's a video of me cooking cicadas and then eating them. I am not Mr. the Baptist, but I did eat bugs for lunch at least once. I marinated them in Worcestershire sauce, so they tasted pretty much like marinated Worcestershire sauce in breading. I guess it's breading. Tempura sauce kind of a thing. Yeah. You'll have to watch the video. You don't have to watch the video, just like you don't have to eat bugs or any of those things or go to that autocorrect site. None of those things are necessary. But be kind and generous and live simply. That's just simply good advice. And I think it's necessary. It's necessary for making a difference in the world. Me, you, all of us can make that difference. There we go. Now, there is something else that John the Baptist said to do. Now, how many of you opened your Bibles during the first part when I said read that? Got it there? What else did John the Baptist say to do? Live simply, be kind and generous. He said repent. He did. Repent from what? Nobody wants to talk today. Pardon? That wasn't... Well, what do you think John the Baptist wanted people to repent from? From sinning. Yes, there. It's not hard. And if the kids were in here right now, they would say, sinning or Jesus, you know, something like that. Another question, though. Can we be more specific about what John wanted? See, we do a good list, or good job of making lists. Over the years, we've done that. Some we've taken from the Bible, lists of things not to do or to repent from. And others we've added from the Bible, things that aren't in the Bible that we say, well, that makes sense, and you know, it fits in there. And some we've just simply made up, rules that you can and can't do. But John had some more specific instructions about what people should repent from, and that was greed, selfishness, selfishness, and making up rules. In Matthew, it's not in today's reading, but as part of the same story, John called the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to him to be baptized a brood of vipers, you snakes. He really had genuine disdain for the ones who decided what the rules were and who enforced their ways on the people with neither the means nor the need to show off their wealth or their prayer costumes or their perfect adherence to the religious rules. John didn't like that. He didn't like people unfairly enforcing the rules, making up rules that were unwritten, and generally just being arrogant somethings. John was about repentance from the holier-than-thou. John was about repentance from judging others. He was about repentance from deciding how someone else should live. And that is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So in this getting ready for Christmas season, what can we do? We can repent from all the things we're not supposed to do, and specifically greed, selfishness, and making up rules. Unless you're playing Calvin Ball. Now I'm dating something from 20 years ago. Calvin Ball, anybody? Calvin Ball was a game that Calvin and Hobbes, the little boy and the tiger, played, and the rules kept getting made up as they went along. You hit the ball, and then you ran to first base, but first base all of a sudden moved somewhere else, and then you had to go over there. But when you got there, you had to be at second base, and it just kept changing, and sometimes there were no bases or anything like that. But we can repent from making up our own rules. How do you repent from greed and selfishness in a time where I know we preach all the time about be kind to one another and, you know, you don't need too much, but all we're doing is going shopping and getting stuff. And there's really nothing wrong with going shopping and getting stuff. But there is a problem with the greed. I saw a Christmas list from a kid, it was supposed to be really, really cute. It's one of those Facebook things. But it wasn't really so cute. It had a list of 20 things and then underlined, you know, this is the thing that you really must get and this is the thing that I really want and I really have to have this, and if you don't get anything... It sort of read like an episode of South Park. None of you watched that either, right? There was an episode of South Park where Cartman had a birthday party, and he assigned each child who came to his party what they were getting him, because he didn't want any doubles of any presents, and he didn't register for his birthday. He just told the kids, this is what you're getting, And if they couldn't afford something, he made them find a way to get the money to do it. It was all about greed and selfishness. A lesson from South Park. How about that? You're going to watch South Park now, right, and try to find the theological importance of it? Maybe. During this Christmas season, we can repent, not from watching South Park. I don't care if you watch South Park, but repent from the things that make us feel greedy and selfish and want to make up rules to enforce them on others. And while we're repenting from those things, we can keep getting ready with the positive things, not the things that we're against, but the things that we're for, which is being kind and generous and living simply. We can do that, and it will. It does make a difference. It makes a difference in our lives. It makes a difference in the life of the church. It makes a difference in the life of anyone we come in contact with. Kind, generous, simple. Right now. Today, later today, this week, ongoing. So that's a challenge, ready or not. Here we go. What are you waiting for? Amen.